The Universal Media NetWeb will commence international broadcasting in just a few moments. First, we'd like to take a moment to welcome each and every soul to the premier European simulcast of It's All in Your Head FM, Negative Land's global radio format for the Over the Edge program, and you, the live audience. We have invited ORF to join our broadcast family for what we believe will be an exciting and prosperous union. As part of UMN's continually expanding presence around the globe, for the very first time, you are part of a UMN broadcast to be heard throughout Austria and the rest of the world as we bring a message of vital importance to the largest potential group of radio listeners in the history of the Universal Media NetWeb. Special designer broadcast to follow.
This is deprogramming from the Universal Media NetWeb.
For many people, particularly in this country, thinking about religion is kind of counterintuitive. It's almost something you're not supposed to do.
What was your first idea of God, Henry?
Let us have faith.
What was your first idea of God, Marsha?
Let us have faith.
Because there is no God. Who told you about God, Henry?
No God. Let us have faith.
And how about you, Trudy? What is your idea of God?
Let us have faith.
What was your first idea of God?
Well, I couldn't exactly say.
We all are in this cultural trance.
Good hello and welcome to It's All in Your Head FM. And whether you're listening by accident or design, stay tuned right here for the truth about the truth. I'm Dr. Oslo Norway, CEO and President of One World Advertising. Here tonight with Negative Land to bring you It's All in Your Head FM, a specialty skeptical broadcast format from UMN. Now, as President and CEO of One World Advertising, it's always been my job to tap into the human psyche and identify its unconscious desires. Our recent report on religious preferences around the world speaks for itself. Since that report first blasted through the psychic landscape of America, the It's All in Your Head movement has, and quite understandably in my opinion, spread across the world like an avian flu virus, even taking hold in parts of the globe as far-flung as, if you'll excuse the expression, Turkey. And that's just the tip of the beak. What am I talking about? To put it simply, it's all in your head, and the headites who believe it endeavor to counterthink the supernatural monotheism of the world's religions in all their fundamental forms and broadcast that counterthinking into today's heads wherever they may be.
Yes, there's never been a more important time than right now for a radio network like this. Overwhelming worldwide demand to investigate the mysterious stranglehold of monotheism has led us to bring It's All in Your Head FM to the European continent for the first time. And it's just in time because technology marches on and the last great wave of independently helpless radio is about to wave goodbye. That's right, you heard me correctly. Radio waves, goodbye. but before it goes, there's just enough time to send up one last shout outing for that old guy that they tell us made radio possible in the first place, the good Lord God Almighty. Tonight, Negative Land has joined together in pseudo-musical fellowship to spend the time we have left reminding the world that when it comes to God, just like radio, humans invented it. And it's all in your head. You're listening to It's All in Your Head FM. Monotheism, but in stereo.
Outer programming for inner space. This is the Universal Media Network.
Sizable minority who believe in sort of a higher spirit of some generic kind, not necessarily a personal being. Stephen Hawking says we'll know the mind of God. He doesn't mean the Judeo-Christian personal God who we can pray to. He means this, the cosmos as a whole.
In the matters of religion and belief and meaning, the deepest things that come from the deepest part of our beings, we reach to symbols, we reach to poetry, we reach to art, to try to begin to articulate what those things are. And I think that we have to acknowledge that we're in this realm when we begin to talk about those. And if we take the symbols and don't acknowledge that they're symbols, then we get into this realm.
If we try to make them facts, you mean?
Now, does God mean something very real to you, Henry?
Yes.
And to me, what really turned me around when I was a born-again Christian that really challenged me was the idea that there are so many different kinds of gods and different kinds of gods and different kinds of gods and there are so many different kinds of gods.
But isn't there a huge arrogance in all this that, you know, God is beyond definition, beyond pigeonholing and describing fully?
Any
definitions are provisional, and to say someone else's understanding of God is simply wrong would be a spiritual arrogance.
Well, only from those who are relativists. I'm not a relativist. I'm an absolutist. I believe that Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if I am a follower of Jesus Christ, who am I to say that I'm not going to put myself under the authority of the teaching of Jesus Christ? It's not arrogance. It's submission to the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Freud called religion an illusion.
And if we, do a show of hands of your listeners, how many believe in Zeus or these different kinds of Greek gods? They'll all be atheists. So the difference between me as a non-believer and them as a non-believer is that we've all dismissed all these other gods except this one monotheistic god. Clearly, this is a historical, culturally determined concept. Clearly, this is a historical, culturally determined concept, God and religion.
Freud claimed religion is an illusion, but our science is not an illusion. Darwin has shown us that we descend from monkeys, that Copernicus has said we are not descended of the universe, and Freud was saying, come down from your heights, human beings. You are not as great as you say you are. You have to save yourself from your delusions. You are full of sexuality. You are full of hatred and lust and envy. Face yourself. I am going to save you from those delusions.
No!
Well, you don't have an answer.
No!
Well, you don't have an answer.
Clearly a historical, culturally determined concept about it.
You know, I know that in a modern, relativist, syncretistic age, the exclusive claims of traditional Christian faith jar the ears.
The thesis of how we believe is that humans are pattern-seeking, storytelling animals. It is almost impossible for us to look out at nature and not find some sort of pattern and then tell a story about it. That's what myths and stories are all about, is giving some meaning to the pattern. Now, the question is the pattern real or not? The one best method we have for determining that is science. And, you know, only in America would a conversation like this consistently be brought back to this need to prove God. Look, you can't prove it. Let me just say it as clearly as I can. There are no proofs of God.
May I?
Whether there is a God or not, nobody knows. We'll find out, I guess, in the end.
Immanuel Kant, Bertrand Russell said, we don't know the intrinsic nature of the physical world. The intrinsic nature of the physical world is just revealed to us from the outside, from how it looks, how every physical particle affects every other physical particle. But what's it like in itself? What's the thing in itself? Kant said. One natural speculation is that intrinsic nature of the physical world has something very deep to do with consciousness. This leads to what philosophers call panpsychism.
I don't think panpsychism is. My own view is consciousness is good and something special about human beings, and it's not everywhere. I mean, that's the cool thing about it. It's not everywhere. If it's a fundamental, it would be matter is everywhere. Electrons are everywhere. Consciousness just hides in very special brains.
Well, Barclay would say, have you ever seen anything without consciousness?
Well, that's true, but
no,
that's
every time you see something, you're conscious.
Well, that's right. But consciousness goes where I go, where minds go. But minds aren't everywhere. The electrons don't have any minds.
Do we really have any record of any observation of anything that didn't involve consciousness? No, because the observation was conscious.
You're getting spooky on me. I think we've got to end this conversation because before I get really weirded out.
It's All in Your Head, FM.
Well, friends, where can I begin? After reading One World Advertising's report on religious beliefs around the world, something in me just snapped. But nothing happened. And then it came to pass that during some of the spare time I am constantly burdened with, I finally decided to confront the God concept head-on and become the founder of a new and unmusical spiritual philosophy called It's All in Your Head. As I saw immediately, and as you'll soon find out, the logic of this mental realization was, is, and always will be irresistible. Once you realize the role your head is playing in all this, you'll never go back to thinking otherwise, believe me. So, before I knew it, everyone sharing my summer beach spread in Saint-Tropez, including Negative Land, started calling themselves headites, eager to spread headism via any medium that would have us. The only one that would was the nearly forgotten medium of broadcast radio, now on its last tower legs and finally desperate enough about censorship-free satellite radio and podcasting to publicly entertain the concept that there is no God, just to get listeners. UMN thinks like this. Right now, showing people that something usually thought to be as important as God is actually non-existent will bring people back to radio's fabled nothing-to-see zone and rekindle the golden age of +6 ratings. How do we do that and do it by the next fiscal quarter?
Well, Oslo, we'll do it by offering listeners in-depth analysis, proving the extreme likelihood that there is simply no supernatural, patriarchal personage called God. Instead of that, Hedites encourage increased funding for increased study of the human brain, the metabolism of thought, and especially the unique organic mystery of human values, things like having a conscience and morality. And most importantly, the neurological basis of mythologies past and present, used to symbolize the spiritual capacity that has inescapably typified our evolving human intelligence over the last 500,000 years. Well, we've got a lot of catching up to do. Think about it. It's All in Your Head FM. Forever.
Frequency modulated. Your interference-free is the Universal Media Network.
You're listening to It's All in Your Head FM, putting the less back in godless.
Storytelling animals, we continue to spin stories about our world, and the scientific worldview is our story for today.
I bumped into a girl roller skating, and the girl that was roller skating said something about God, and my classmate said he isn't real. It was a great discussion. But we all went off.
It all depends on what you believe. Now I believe nothing can fuck up his head.
No God!
The loudspeakers fuck up his head. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid. Christianity is stupid.
How about group marriage? Or marriage between daddies and little girls? How about marriage between a man and his donkey?
I think statistic that people have come up with and from various points of view is that we're 1/4 conscious and 3/4 unconscious at all times.
Well, you don't have an answer. How well? That's because God made it that way.
We're 1/4 conscious and 3/4 unconscious at all times.
Well, that's because God made it that way. It's just a dreadful way to conduct religion, and it's also doomed because it means that the more things science is able to explain, the smaller and smaller part of the unpainted part of the floor is left for you, this poor God that you've created to occupy. It just seems silly. It's the path that one is drawn into when you start trying to use nature to prove God's existence.
One of the greatest remaining mysteries of science is the enigma of human consciousness. What makes us who we are creates that sense of the self and the world. Understanding how the brain creates the self is one of the holy grails of modern science.
Well, now, do you think that the scientists know all about this feeling of God?
But I know a lot of scientists believe in God.
1/4 conscious and 3/4 unconscious at all times, and that both are functioning together in tandem with it. With self-knowledge, without self-knowledge.
Isn't unconscious just another part of the brain that's operating
It's not some mystical
force.
We're
not just brains. No, it's not a mystical force, but it's unconscious. We can't know it in the same way.
Some people don't believe in God, and some people do. And I don't know, it doesn't seem like there could be a God.
It was dogmatism that split us in the first place in the 16th century. It's dogmatism, this whole notion that there is a truth that is the truth, it is the eternal truth and the unquestionable truth. We learned at the end of a telescope that it got us nowhere.
Freud showed that humans are not masters in their own house, that to some degree we are ruled in an unruly way by unconscious forces outside of our wills.
Researchers who study intelligence and different human capacities, the big hot new area is to look at the impact of emotional on the intellectual and to see how much those two processes go together.
Concept that our conscious brains actually have receptors that both respond to prayer and also lead us to sense that a presence is with us at particular moments. Our medical technology allows us to track the area of the brain as it lights up with electrical activity. The notion here is that we, not God, are in effect creating our own response unwittingly, thus tricking ourselves into believing it is coming from elsewhere.
The human brain.
Is set up in such a way that it's very easy for us to have religious and spiritual beliefs and experiences and make religion and spirituality a part of our lives.
One explanation for why people have these experiences of a sense of a presence in the room, the presence of God or aliens or ghosts or lost loved ones that have died and come back to visit us, is that the left temporal lobe coordinates all the brain modules together into a sense of self. We all feel like a single person. I don't have multiple people in me, I'm just one. And by messing that up, by bombarding the right temporal lobe, what Persinger does is he creates a sense of two cells in the brain. And the brain is not capable of sensing two cells, so it senses one self and another self in the room, another presence in the room.
Everyone has heard of a heart attack, but what about a brain attack?
The brain is shaken inside the skull. Pictures of people's brains while they are sleeping.
Now, what that will be interpreted as depends on your culture and your experiences. People 400-500 years ago experienced incubi, succubi, because they lived in a demon-haunted world. People 100 years ago experienced spirits and ghosts because they lived in a spirit-haunted world. The kind of world we live in is an alien-haunted world. We live in a world filled with X-Files and Star Trek and Star Wars and all these search for extraterrestrial intelligence. We're obsessed with alien, the idea of alien intelligences. So, of course, we would interpret these anomalous experiences, these senses of presence, not as demons, but as aliens or gods, because we've always believed in gods.
No matter what the religion, no matter what the form of worship, prayer makes certain regions of the brain light up
like this.
In a special and unique way.
Like this.
The frontal lobe, right behind the forehead,
like this.
Focuses concentration.
Like this.
The limbic system, deep in the center, triggers feelings of awe and joy. The parietal lobe at the back of the brain brings on that feeling of becoming part of something greater than oneself.
So the limbic system can be a place where fear is stored, but it can also be, as we're learning now, a place where that faith is stored as well. I think they're trying to find, is there a scientific basis for faith?
But actually, let's think about it. You know, what does that really mean? Why? Why is it that a certain group of neurons in the left front of your brain, when they go off, should make you feel anxious, and another should make you feel happy?
It's controversial, it's difficult, and out of all the different kind of faiths, is this something that binds us together? Do our brains
no matter our faith, all seem to light up the same way. And does something change in the brain when someone is faithful?
Well, you're a neurosurgeon. What do you make of these brain scans showing the brain responding to prayer in a particular, very unique way?
I think there's something there. It's not a final answer by any means. There's a lot more that we still don't understand. But obviously something's happening.
The researchers asked members of three Christian groups to say the same prayers for about two-thirds of the patients.
The findings show that prayer had no effect, but engineered bladders have worked well. The leakage problem improved, and most importantly, telling patients that someone is praying for them might increase their leakage problem.
I don't know why you necessarily need God in order to have morality, which is, I think, what's at stake in this discussion.
There is no devil, there is no heaven, there is no hell, and there is no God.
I'm a fan of Freud and a fan of his arguments, but just because you wish that something is so doesn't mean that it isn't so. What Freud's saying is that if you look at the data and you want to take the most parsimonious approach to things, come up with the simplest theory, he'd say, well, maybe instead of saying that a God's there, it makes more sense to say that these are universal human wishes, and the best explanation as to why people around the world come up with different conceptions of God is because there's this universal need for explanations, comfort, order in the face of chaos and disorder.
Then the scientists know everything about you, and they don't see anything unreasonable about your body that would make you think that, unless it was just a legend or something you believed in. And so then that makes it more reasonable that there isn't a God.
What's the best thing you can say about faith?
Not a lot. I think faith is pernicious because it teaches people, especially teaches children, that believing something without evidence is a virtue.
Good morning, children.
I think it's a bit pernicious because I think that children should be taught to seek evidence. They should be taught to be skeptical. If they're told something, they should immediately say, what's the evidence for that?
Good morning, children.
Whereas faith teaches you not to ask for the evidence. It teaches you this is true because it's true because it's true. You just have faith and you don't have to justify it.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. I think it may be the power of it may come from getting children early. If you're taught from the cradle upwards that certain things are true, you're taught that it's a virtue not to question. You're taught that if you start to have doubts, then you must pray to overcome your doubts.
Remember,
accept what he is. Accept what authority says is true.
Remember,
you're taught that if somebody comes along to you with plausible arguments to the contrary, then that's probably the devil speaking. It's a very cunningly planned. I'm not sure it's deliberately planned. It may sort of come about by sort of gradual evolutionary process, but it looks as though it's very cunningly planned to immunize children when they grow up against all departure from faith.
Remember,
accept what you accept what authority says we should do.
There is a sort of wishful thinking element about that. I mean, quite obviously in the case of surviving after death, because it might be very nice to survive after death, but what's nice isn't necessarily true. And
well, my first idea of God is talking to
distinguish between what they would like to be true and what there is any evidence is true. And that, I think, might apply also to morality, where people feel, I think wrongly, that you cannot have a moral society without religion. I don't think that's true, but even if it were true, it wouldn't mean that the existential claims of religion were true just because they make people moral. And as I say, I don't have to believe that they do make people any more moral.
What do you think of God, Douglas?
Of our instincts.
And that we are all compelled to behave cleverly or stupidly by the commands of our emotional attitudes.
What do you think of God, Douglas?
I think of God when I'm lying in bed, Miss Parker. Makes me feel better. I seem to go to sleep faster.
And I'm troubled by the idea that one can be willing to believe in something if it's not true.
But just because it's not scientific doesn't mean it's not true.
If I hadn't believed it, I wouldn't have seen it with my own eyes.
Dr. Oslo Norway here. In order to counter the misguided persistence of the supernatural God concept, we have embedded It's All in Your Head FM inside show business itself as an advanced jock trooper, single-handedly attempting to point out monotheism's cosmic misconceptions from here, inside media's herd of electronic sheep, where we can shear through the lip-serviced faith in unsupportable supernaturalism that forms the foundations of all present civilizations as we know them. It's All in Your Head FM is a philosophical radio club wielding the well-worn but seldom adopted theory that there actually is no God. No God as first imagined in polytheistic pantheons full of them, and no God as later boiled down to an unimaginably lonely oneness. But rather that all such supernatural God concepts have been the confabulated personifications of organically operated spiritual impulses within us and us alone. There is a universal need in our whole species to connect with something spiritual. This need has been along for the ride in every human brain as an innate and inescapable neurological function in this species for some time now. There's no getting rid of it. But the headite observation of a supernatural God as a purely mental condition will probably continue to be contested by today's fundamentalist Homo sapiens every place we go, as this radio show tours apprehensively around the known world. Why? Because we boldly propose to rethink all their proprietary supernatural spirit hunts with a mighty righteous focus on common humanity, common sense, comparative mythology, epistemology, and the state of our neurological sciences. And this goes for anywhere we go, regardless of whose regional god we may find ourselves subjected to.
And we warn you, we're doing something right, because our conversion rate, if you will, is high amongst almost all demographic groups within our surface reception areas. So we must caution that if you too choose to join the It's All in Your Head movement and become a headite yourself, well, don't expect open-minded throngs to beat a path to your tree-panned doorway. Violent resistance to this kind of crazy talk can occur even inside your own home. To eject the supernatural God concept, even if you're hanging on to a lot of the wisdom that's still found under that label, is to forsake society's accepted cultural glue. And getting your own head stuck on our more reasonable inlook may actually make others think that you are falling apart. No mental glue. Well, stuck all that, we haven't and you won't, because it's all in our heads, and your heads, FM.
This is the Universal Media Network.
Here it is.
listening to It's All in Your Head FM, putting the fun back into fundamentalism.
To read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so.
Listen with me to the mighty wind that blows. Look with me to high mountains capped with snow.
Let us have faith.
Walk with me in a forest where the wild beasts roam.
Let us have faith.
You know I'm afraid to say there's no God, even though I know there's no God.
What? I don't understand.
And then tell me again, it's no God.
Were you ever puzzled about God?
And then tell me again, it's no God.
Well, Harold, what has puzzled you most about God? Puzzled you most about God?
Well, when my father said that God can do mostly anything for people, that's when I got puzzled. Because there's only one man up in the heavens, that how can he do everything for anybody at all times?
In another part of your brain, we absolutely no idea of what's going on, why that is true.
And it made Freud realize there were mental processes that go on very significantly outside of conscious awareness.
He puzzles about hypnosis. How is it that I can affect a human being's mind without his consciousness? What goes on here that there's a powerful influence without the knowledge and the cognition of the patient?
God makes your mind work.
The way we know things, how we know things.
God makes your mind work.
We've got to think about epistemology, the way we know things, how we know things.
We have learned to take personal testimony at face value. If somebody stands up and offers searing personal testimony of some awful personal experience or some alleged abuse, we're not supposed to question that. We're not supposed to seek evidence of that. We're not supposed to cross-examine the person who's testifying because that's considered another form of abuse. We're supposed to take that at face value. And there's a lot in the culture that encourages us, aren't they, to confuse passion and apparent sincerity of belief with truth.
What we think occurs is that a given group of neurons, nerve cells in the brain, firing, having electric impulses at the same time, corresponds to a particular sensation or feeling. And it's a map. So somehow or other, we're able to translate where neurons are firing. One's on the left, one's on the right, one's a little next to it. We have those, let's say, 13 neurons all firing. That means I feel good. But how does that get translated into sensation? And that's something that we want to understand, and we don't. So that's a big problem. And How much of your brain is involved in a given thought? Is it one little spot of your brain? Or when you have a thought, is it a lot of different places in your brain all contributing to that thought?
To confuse passion and apparent sincerity of belief with truth.
Well, the problem with fundamentalists is that they're not having a good time. They think that everybody else shouldn't be having a good time.
Tonight, you are enjoying the miracle of radio. Radio at its finest over frequency modulation.
Responsible, receptive, reusable. This is the Universal Media Network.
I don't know a goddamn thing about God, but nevertheless, it's all in your head, FM. How do you like that?
Omar Carr, there we are. And now it's time for It's All in Your Head FM's Viewpoint, where members of the listening community air their opinions on a variety of topics. Tonight's viewpoint is from an American, Father Harold Camping, stationed at the U.S. Army base in Heidelberg.
Good evening. I'm Father Camping from Armed Forces Christian Fellowship with a guest opinion.
And now, let's go back into history a little bit.
Billions of years ago, there was just a big bang in space. No one knows what caused the big bang. It just happened. And from this bang issued a huge rock. And on top of the rock was found a sweet, brown, bubbly substance. And over millions and millions of years, aluminum crept up the side and formed itself into a can, and then into a lid. And then into a pull tab on top of this can. And then millions and millions of years later, red paint, blue paint, white paint fell from the sky and pulled itself into the words, 12 fluid ounces. Do not litter. Well, you say, what are you doing? You're insulting my intellect. And so I am, because we know that if a can is made, there must be a maker. And if it's designed, there must be a designer. To believe that the soda can happened by chance is to move into an intellectual free zone. It's to have an echo when you think. It's to have brain liposuction. Think about that the next time you're enjoying your soda. I'm Father Harold Camping from Heidelberg, and I thank you for this guest opportunity.
The views expressed on Viewpoint are not in any way those of Negative Land or It's All in Your Head FM, and for a 10-cent deposit, may be returned.
Scientists say the human brain continues to change through the process of evolution.
We Christians don't call it evolution because we believe it isn't something coming up out of blind nature, but something coming down from the world of light, power, knowledge, beyond all nature.
Scientists say the brain has evolved about as much as it ever will.
Oh, there he goes again!
Time, good time, good time, so time, you can do so time.
Brain has evolved about as much as it ever will.
The brain is shaking inside the skull.
Somebody looked at the complexity of human life and said, given enough time, anything can happen.
Brain
another looks at that and says, given enough time, anything can happen. Another looks at that and says, a complex design like this, I wonder if there was a creator or a thought designer behind this.
Are you familiar with the little quip that million-to-one odds happen 8 times a day in New York City? It's the law of big numbers. There's enough stuff happening out there. There's enough particles. There's enough forces. The sun is burning. It's putting energy into the system.
That's a hypothesis that scientifically doesn't make sense.
Out of chaos. This is called emergence. The principle of emergence. Out of chaos emerges complexity without any designer at all. All you need is energy put into the system.
Know all about this feeling of God? No!
No! It just happens spontaneously. Now, as pattern-seeking animals, it's impossible for us to think. It can't just happen. There must be somebody behind the curtain pulling the strings. Behind the curtain pulling the strings.
No! No!
Somebody behind the curtain pulling the strings, but there isn't. But there isn't.
No!
Is a series of machines which are programmed to propagate the instructions that built them, the hereditary instructions that built them. And so that's the biological meaning of life. I hasten to add that's not, of course, the meaning of life for you and me. Love and have a life and whatever it is we do, whether it's writing books or listening to music. But the reason you're in the world is the biological meaning. Given that you're in the world, then you can make life mean whatever you want it to mean.
Again, it's time for America's number one nature program, Wildlife Tonight.
Dr. Oslo Norway here with a shocking remote broadcast from Wildlife Tonight. Right now, we are going live to Wildlife Tonight's Buck Logic over at the world-famous Schönbrunn Zoo, where Buck is going to demonstrate why there never was any Adam and Eve. Buck, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Oslo. This is Buck Logic with Wildlife Tonight. And where could you find more wildlife tonight than the Schoenbrunn Zoo? I'm here at the Stinkend Orphan House, a generous endowment from the Simeon M. Stinkend Estate, makers of Stinkend Shoe Stretchers. And here with me is Friedrich, the night shift monkey man at the Schoenbrunn Zoo. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that's
cool. Well, we appreciate you letting us in after hours to do this, Friedrich. And if you're ready, please bring in the monkey.
Are you sure we should do this? You remember what happened at last week's show in Berlin with the polar bear?
Oh, yes, it's okay, Friedrich. I checked with the city council, and they're all Darwinian.
All right.
And here comes Friedrich with a chimpanzee.
Yeah, that's good.
We'll do it right on the table there. Careful, get him up against the armature. Tie those straps, you girly. They can take your face right off.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's really hot.
So, what we're going to do right here on Wildlife Tonight is shave all the hair off this chimp from face to feet.
All right. Oh, there we go.
Friedrich is now spraying the restrained chimp all over with just new Promstart shaving gel. And we're going to begin shaving this chimpanzee's entire body clean of all hair. You know, I believe this is another exclusive for Wildlife Tonight, and it's all in your head, FM. Although, I must confess, I don't see why no one has done this before. And now Friedrich is... Oh, not too fast. Friedrich is rapidly shaving the chimp's body now. Seems to be a little discomfort, but come on, we've all been shaved. Doesn't actually hurt that much. Now we're seeing some skin hair. We're doing this full-body monkey makeover for the first time anywhere because, well, I'll bet none of you listening out there have ever seen a shaved monkey before in your life. Think about it. I'll bet never before. And you know what? There's an important reason why you've never seen a shaved monkey before. And it does not include protecting the dignity of the animal. That's just an excuse. Nope, you have never been allowed to see it because it's a shocking, almost unbearable testament to our own intimate link with animal evolution. Oh, the chimp appears very angry. He's strapped in a standing position to a sort of a crucifix-style armature on the table, trembling a little under the restraints. Be gentle, Frederick. Poor thing.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to have to switch to something else. This stupid piece of shit razor you gave me is not working. I got to go electric.
And now Frederick is going electric, struggling to shave the feet and the toes. And by the way, Frederick, what's his name?
This is not a boy chimp. It's a girl chimp. We call her Eva.
Eva. Well, cute breasts.
Oh, yeah.
And be sure to get all around her private parts, too. I want a completely shaved monkey.
Yes, I'm trying.
Oh, that makes her very angry. She doesn't like that at all. We're sorry we have to put this innocent chimp through this, but it's simply necessary to create a greater good for all of us. Sort of like testing cosmetics on them. Friedrich is using a Jumbo Gillette Bumstark razor system on Eva. Perhaps it should have been a Lady Bumstark, but it seems to be working just great.
Yeah.
From first shave to last, all with a smooth shave with Gillette. Come to think of it, in Eva's case, I guess this is her first and last shave. But when this chimp is entirely shaved, everyone will see for the first time why we are all truly brothers to this sister under the skin.
Almost over, Eva. Yeah, hold on. Yeah, good.
Friedrich now finishing off her face and neck. Just leave a head of hair like us, that's all. No mustache, it's a girl. Great, that's it. And here comes the hose. And there you have it. Look at that. Release the straps, Friedrich. Amazing. Creepy, but amazing. Turn her around there, Friedrich. That's it. Keep turning her. Amazing. Truly amazing.
She looks just like my little girl.
Yeah, I realized this at rehearsal. Once you see a monkey's full frontal bare skin anatomy, something we've never been allowed to see, it's so strangely like our own bodies, just different proportions in the parts, but all the same skeletal and muscular structures. Why, it's like an organic revelation.
It's incredible.
All right, Friedrich, you can remove the shaved chimp. A wonderfully telling demonstration. Thank you. And don't worry about Ava, folks. We have a little skirt and sweater for her. Well, what can anyone say? Seeing is believing. Truly a Wildlife Tonight revelation. And for God's sakes, if there was one, what more need we be? So that's it. Nature's clock is ticking. Thanks to Ava the Chimp, Friedrich the Monkey Man, and the Gillette Shaving Corporation. Now in your face with the Bum Stark Maximus II Jet Shave System. I'm Buck Logic. Now back to Oslo, Norway's brain, and it's all in your head, FM.
That's it for Wildlife Tonight. Thank you, Buck, and good luck.
Tune in to Wildlife Tonight next week when Buck Logic will lower himself into the African Leeuwenkäfig, the lion cage, to prove his theory that there is no God to protect him. Much more to contemplate from It's All in Your Head FM, so stay tuned. You're listening to It's All in Your Head FM on ORF, our new radio partner. So stay here.
We interrupt this program. The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is an attack warning. Repeat, this is an attack warning. Attack warning means...
Attack warning means that an actual attack...
That an actual attack against this country has been detected. God, I got all this mucus. God damn it, I gotta blow my nose.
Hello, listeners. We're back. Dr. Oslo Norway here. Sorry for that interruption. Welcome back to the final hour of It's All in Your Head FM. Now, under new management.
You're listening to It's All in Your Head FM. We're all Mohammeds now.
Islam. 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 Islam.
Allah is powerful and great.
Islam. Islam. The five pillars were revealed to the Prophet Muhammad in the Arabian desert 600 years after the birth of Christ and recorded in the Quran. Now, a fifth of the world's human beings are Muslim.
God is perfect.
We all are in this cultural trance. Islam literally means surrender, to lie down in peace before the will of Allah, the one God. But the intent of Islam is to create justice in this world, to unify the temporal and the spiritual.
I was isolated really for almost 800 years. In the desert you have either day or night, you have cold or hot. You don't have these shades. Even the music is only one string. And that has kind of polarized the way of thinking. It's either black or white. It's either you're with me or against me.
There's no doubt.
All Muslims are haunted by texts, the greatest text of all being Quran, then the other text is Hadith, which is all written. Then we have the Sharia, then we have the fiqh, and we have an attitude towards that text. It is a very controlled attitude. We call it tafsir, we call it exegesis, we call it commentary, and fuqaha, the religious scholars, have the right to actually comment on it. We also are very keen on certainty. Now, not many Muslims can handle uncertainty, doubt, and even questioning whether God even exists. Now, one of the great Islamic scholars, Al-Ghazali, did ask that question back in the time of the height of Islamic civilization. And I agree with Dada. Somewhere or other, we've got fossilized. We've got to think about epistemology, the way we know things, how we know things. We've got to think about even engaging with philosophy. We've actually sidelined philosophy for theology. And we need to rethink those things in terms of identity in the modern world. Now, we must be careful.
Every single fundamentalist movement that I've studied in Judaism, Christianity is in Islam, is convinced that modern secular society is the enemy of religion and wants to wipe it out. So they feel that they're fighting, and Maududi certainly felt was that Muslims were fighting with their backs to the wall against a hideously powerful force. And that they must exert all their efforts to counter this great threat to religion.
Muslims believe that God does want human beings to surrender to His will.
God is perfect, so we can say Islam is perfect because God is perfect.
And therefore, those who have not surrendered themselves to God's will are seen as opponents, if you will, to God.
If anybody said anything different than the Quran have to win, because the Quran is the word of God Almighty.
In Christianity, in Judaism, their creed or their aqidah doesn't make the clearest sense.
Whenever the word Jew appeared in Quran, I always thought they are the people who have been cursed by God.
These guys had the message and they faltered. You've got the message now. Don't falter with it.
I start hating the Jews.
Is this a case, as with other great religions, where you can find a justification for your tactics of...
God is perfect. God is perfect. God is perfect. God is perfect. God...
All fundamentalism in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam is becoming more extreme right now. And we're almost getting what I would call post-fundamentalist groups, people who believe they're going beyond the fundamentalism that erupted so strongly during the 1970s into a new, more desperate phase. And I think something like this is happening here.
Bagassi. Bagassi.
Keep
in the way of God.
We are still victimized by a certain kind of culture based on the charisma.
Those enemies and seek to be killed for my sake, I will grant you something called Shahada.
The Savior.
You become martyr.
The Redeemer.
Martyrdom is what you want.
The one-man show.
Do the effort.
The one party.
Clean your intention.
The one opinion.
Go forward, never look backwards.
On the charisma.
Make sure you have nothing left behind you to think about or apply for.
The Savior, the Redeemer, the one man show.
And fight the Rimbaba.
You invest my world with your presence.
The one party. The one opinion.
Have you seen the man? The nicest man.
The charisma.
I'm sure. Like in all other religions, not only in religions, any book can be misinterpreted, misread. There is a verse in the Quran, religion in the sight of God is Islam. Some have seen this verse to mean that if you are not a follower of Prophet Muhammad, then you are an enemy of God.
Quran do talk about self-defense and your right to use violence or aggression. These things have been twisted.
I would rather we have an Islamic government, because basically Islam is a way to organize life. I believe in any country which practices Islamic teachings as God had sent it down to us, we wouldn't have any problems really.
Al-Qaeda is trying to do two things. They're trying to issue a wake-up call to Muslims saying, look, your entire religion and the Ummah, the Islamic community, is under threat, and therefore it's your duty as a Muslim to rise up and resist this. And they're also trying to strike a blow of revenge.
On my orders.
Revenge.
On my orders, the United States military has begun strikes.
Do not think those that die for God are really dead, but rather they live in the shadow of God, in the paradise of Eden. The strangers, Canada, USA, France, Britain, have ceased to focus on the unknown, the mysterious, because they do not believe in God. Europe stopped believing in God, so why should I speak in our language? I will speak in their terms. I have land in the paradise of Eden. My land is occupied, and I'm trying to liberate it.
This great Muslim, love thy neighbor nonsense. You know, if you read the Quran, really read the Quran, and if you learn about what's going on in Saudi Arabia, about this one-in-tenism, it is, they have to wipe out everybody unless you become one of them. So if that happens, if there's another nuclear bomb, we're going to bomb Mecca, we're going to bomb the most religious places. This is a holy war.
Anything will stop. Anything.
lounging around the corner. Not looking. Can't see where he's shooting at all. Around the corner, not looking, can't see where he's shooting at all.
They had this vision that they propagated true Islam in its purest form. So anything they encountered that differed from that vision was regarded as objectionable.
It's almost like a sort of nihilism here, as though fundamentalism is moving into what we call an antinomian phase. Antinomian phase. It means that you ignore all law and sort of trample on all values. If you are killing and massacring thousands of innocent people, you've lost all sense of law. And in various moments of history, when people are feeling extremely desperate, this religious extremism, and there are various examples of this in the past, can tip over into a complete nihilism, where all law, even your sacred religious law, is something that you trample on in your desire to get to a new phase.
What has puzzled you most about God?
Well, I've always been puzzled about him because, well, I mean, airplanes have been flying pretty high and they haven't come across him.
And the Lord saw the tower which the children of men builded, and he was displeased, saying to himself,
"This thing is not good."
Most impossible and memorable images of that day were people leaping out of the windows, being forced out by the fire behind them, driving them, hurting them out the windows, and to see that image of two people, co-workers, strangers. I had no idea, but that not knowing made it all the more poignant for reaching out for somebody's hand.
To me, the idea of standing on a ledge of the 80th floor of a high rise and look at a woman or a friend and hold hands and say, "We are going to like fly down and die together now holding hands," it's something that is so beyond my courage.
To take your last step.
No.
That you would end your life in the hands of a stranger.
How many times I have actually visualized myself in that situation since that happened.
Plummeting thousands of feet to death.
And I can't even imagine how to do that.
I think that the power of that image is it doesn't give an answer.
I mean, I'm sure that there is so many religious people asking themselves questions. Did they hear a voice? Did they hear a calling? Did they see a beautiful garden with rivers and lakes down there?
It takes us in two opposing directions.
Was their pain so much that some device that we don't know about, that we have inside ourselves, some spiritual device, just triggered on, and all of a sudden it was heaven already before they jumped, and they were just jumping into something beautiful?
On the one hand, we are all alone at the end.
Because I tell you, I could not do it.
Life is fleeting.
Something special must have been going on. Because a lot of them don't.
There's no one to help us when we face the abyss. And there wasn't. No one came for them. And on the other hand, they reached for each other. They said that in that moment when they're facing the absolute ultimate, there are other human beings to reach out, to be there, to help them. To help us. There are other human beings. There are other human beings to reach out, to be there, to help them, to help us.
Well, you feel closer to God when you're indoors or out of doors. When we're unhappy with ourselves, when we feel torn with among ourselves, when we don't know whether we're religious or secular or as many people in the Islamic countries, we do feel split and that they belong in neither east nor west. This kind of conflict is very often projected onto the other.
Enough. This is changing too fast for me. I can't keep up.
Christians did this way back at the time of the Crusades, when we were fighting a brutal holy war in the Middle East against Muslims, something which in no way could be justified by the peaceful gospel of Jesus Christ.
Get politics involved, get cultural baggage involved, and you try to interpret things that actually are very clear.
People like the Osama bin Laden, likewise.
People that call themselves Muslims and practice terrorism
can easily misinterpret a verse like this.
The Quran actually not telling me to hate the Jews. It was the teachers who was telling me to hate the Jews.
We were in a sense at war with our Christian selves, but we then said it's Islam that is the violent.
Slow down. Slow down. Slow down. Enough, 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 enough. This is changing too fast for me. I can't keep up. I can't keep up. You just can't drag people into the 21st century by the scruff of the neck. You can't do that.
It's all in your head, FM.
Let us have faith that right faith makes right might. Let us have faith that right faith makes might right.
Well, nigh perfect, but a little firmer in this faith you're expressing. Maybe it is.
Right.
And give me a finale that is a little more conscious of being a finale. In other words, not projected, but a little firmer in this faith you're expressing. Maybe try it one last time.
Sorry. Let us have faith that might faith makes us mighty right. And in that right faith, let us have mighty might. That faith makes mighty right might.
Ah, perfect.
Yeah. What would Jesus do with... What would Jesus do? Would Jesus think that torture is cool?
desespero.
You're in the Universal Media Network.
One of the most popular radio voices from nowhere.
As the plus, in the plus, or as God, you will see only the good you desire. As the minus, or as a human being, you will see the evil. And in most cases, favor your attention towards the evil.
Just how holy is the Holy Land?
Well, I was trying to use a belt bomb.
Just how holy is the Holy Land?
Well, I was trying to use a belt bomb.
Just how holy is the Holy Land?
Well, I was trying to use a belt bomb, which is basically a belt with explosives. They used a connecting button that they put in my right hip for me to push. I was to do this only when I could see a lot of people gathered together in a crowd and I had managed to get into it.
They're told in religious language, you know, and enter with peace and tranquility because you're one step away from going to paradise, that you're about to carry out God's mission. And so there are reports of suicide bombers observed just before they hit the switch with a big smile on their face. I don't know if that's true, but I've heard reports of that sort. One can imagine that if you really, really submit to the ideology, that you may well convince yourself that you're about to take the trip of your life.
It was only then I was to push the button and explode myself. To be a martyr, all you need is strength of will and character, and to have strong faith. When I made the decision to take this belt and use it and explode myself, I was already prepared. I had to know where the target was, and I needed someone to take me to the target because I'm a girl. I decided to target a pizza restaurant, but I can't remember the name of the place. I decided to go and blow myself up in the evening hours, when people are going back home from work, and there would be a big crowd of people around the target area. I don't target women and children in particular. I don't target any particular group or person. I just do what is needed. They didn't care about killing our women and children.
Other women your age are raising children today.
Raising children and having a family is a kind of jihad, because this strengthens society, and raising children in a good way is an important thing.
If you could today, would you go into that crowd and blow yourself up?
The way I see it is that the Jews weren't merciful with my nation. I don't have anything against Israeli children, but I know there is a possibility that an Israeli child could grow up and one day come to kill my son or my neighbor's son. Therefore, I feel he should be dead now.
That's because...
Therefore...
That's because...
Therefore...
That's because...
Therefore, I feel he should be dead now.
That's because they believe that they're not going to die. Anybody who really believed that they were going to die, I don't think would do that. I think you have to have a strong belief in these phantasmagorias called afterlives, whether it's you're going to be surrounded by 70 virgins or whether you're going to go to Valhalla or the Happy Hunting Ground or Avalon or Purgatory or Hades or any of the land of the dead, any of these extraordinary myths that have arisen in every single culture in the world to try to ameliorate the terrifying terror of death.
Your idea of God was what?
As so often down here,
your sister,
we'll have a reunion.
Let us have faith.
Your brother,
our loved ones and friends will be gathered around.
Let us have faith.
Your mom?
Some faces are made.
Let us have faith.
Dad?
They've gone on to heaven. They
a
will
good
be
friend?
There with Jesus.
Your child?
Till the trumpet shall sound.
Let us have faith.
Now think of their terrible fate if they die without Christ.
So the suicide bomber can look forward to this luxurious, wonderful life of sexual ecstasy, surrounded by brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and cousins and nephews, all of which he knows that because of his actions, they're guaranteed to make it to paradise. So you have a replication, if you will, of the Arab family, of the extended family in paradise. And then when you hear them describe the kind of world they're going to be in, rivers flowing of non-alcoholic wine, or milk and honey and fruit juice and water and so forth, you begin to realize that what they're describing is the idea of what paradise would be for a desert or nomadic people.
As the press...
Chief of the excess of brutality, cruelty and mendacity, which is now allowed to spread itself over the civilized world. Over the civilized world. Over the civilized world. Over the civilized world.
They won't give up their salvation by blood. And I think a religion who drinks blood every day, the priest, is a religion for cannibals. And so I really think we ought to listen what Jesus said before they killed him and not believe that the crucifixion is the thing we are saved by, because they are addicted to a bloody, cruel death. By this dress, death, they are redeemed, they believe. And I say that is pagan, pre-Christian atrocity story of sacrifices of first-born son turned into Christian good news.
All right,
I can't stand that anymore.
Civilization is perpetually threatened with disintegration. Instinctual passions are stronger than reason. Civilization has to use its utmost efforts in order to set limits to man's aggressive instincts.
Video of his beheading was put out on the internet.
Catholicism is as Catholicism does. Judaism is as Judaism does.
God is perfect.
Judaism is as Judaism does.
To live a Jewish life
live a Jewish life.
They cannot coexist with us.
Shaped by an insulated religious Jewish environment. I was brought up in the experience that Judaism was the truth, that this is the true way and the right way. And that way was vouchsafed to Jews exclusively.
They came from
Do what is upright and good in God's eyes so that he will be good to you.
Jacob and his son, Eli and his family.
You will then come and occupy the good land that God promised your fathers. As God promised, he will repulse all of your enemies before you.
There's been controversy, I suppose, over the centuries about the notion of the Jews as the chosen people.
We all are in this cultural trance.
What does that do to Jewish beliefs about others and their relationship with God?
You're going to have a full range. I think that every religion, Judaism included, has amazingly profound, dark, dangerous, and evil sides to it. Traditions that live for 3,000 years are basically going to say everything. Right? They're going to be able to legitimate murder, and they're going to be able to legitimate love. So chosenness can be an excuse for legitimation of superiority in the most racist form you can imagine. A tradition and a religion is only as good as the people teaching it.
I believe there are many things that Muslims, Jews, Christians, Moonies, anybody can unite on, ethics and such. But when it comes to truth, when it comes to eternity, Jesus Christ alone is the anchor of our soul, is the one who lets us into heaven, the one who brings us into heaven by his shed blood. And so this is eternally important. I'm not necessarily so focused on temporal events and temporal fights that I would neglect the fact that we're going to be dead a whole lot longer than we're going to be alive.
But then would that mean you would be proselytizing Jews? But in general, Christians don't do that so much with Jews.
And they should. I'll go even farther, Miss Deborah, if you would. If you use the word proselytize, I proselytize Baptists. I mean, I'm a Baptist. I happen to be one. But being a Baptist doesn't make you a Christian. God will not ask me any of those questions. He will ask me, what did I do with the God-man, Christ Jesus, and his offer of salvation?
This is the Universal Media Net Web.
It's All in Your Head FM.
You're listening to It's All in Your Head FM. Straight talk about the God-man.
Whether I find a place in this world or never belong, I gotta be me. What else can I do?
Go away from your land, from your birthplace, from your father's house, from the land I will show you.
Our resulting humility sets us free to ponder God's will without any obligation to toe a dictated line. Quote, let there be no compulsion in religion, states a voice in chapter 2 of the Quran. Quote, unto you your religion, unto me my religion, echoes another voice in chapter 109. And in between there is this, quote, if God had pleased, he would have made you all one people, but he has done otherwise. Ain't that the truth?
You can imagine what Abu Lahab thought when his very own nephew, Muhammad, started telling the Quraysh that their idol worship was wrong.
It's a very prickly issue because, you know, every faith group says our path is right. I mean, as Muslims, the Quran is pretty clear. It says the concept of Trinity, the concept of Jesus being God and divine is not correct.
Oh, there he goes again!
Why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult?
That in order to really have a mature spiritual life, you have to move beyond
God as the parent in the sky. I think it's almost inevitable that you start out there as a child, because that is your model of an authority or a caregiver or a prophet. But I think if you're really going to become a thinking person of faith, you have to realize that that's a childish vision of God, the best you can do at a certain point, and then you have to move beyond that to something way different than your daddy. Yes.
And how do you do that?
Why is it so difficult?
It's our absolute against their absolute.
There is no devil, there is no heaven, there is no hell, and there is no God.
To draw Muslims into the streets to demonstrate massive human rights abuses that are happening against other Muslims, and never mind Jews and Christians. Islam, it is okay to be questioning the divinity of the Quran in terms of rediscovering the very basis on which our pluralistic society is built, which is freedom of expression and engagement.
By God. Here's the standard. Catholicism is as Catholicism does. Judaism is as Judaism does. Judaism is as Catholicism does. Catholicism is as Islam does. And Islam is as Judaism does. By God, Catholicism does. Well, what it's doing right now, as Catholicism does, as Islam does, as Judaism does. And by God, well, Judaism is as Islam does right now, as Catholicism does. I wouldn't want to be associated with it. Well,
why? Why? What is everyone so afraid of?
God makes your mind work.
True, God. We're running out of time here.
But that, you know, I don't harp on that difference, yeah. Because
I understand. We're running out of time. I just have to wrap it up and say I understand where you're coming from. There are these differences. There are these distinctions, and I think, you know, I see irreconcilable differences between these faiths in many ways, in the way God is characterized and the way Jesus is perceived and so forth. And I think if there's one thing we can agree on, that that's the kind of conversations that ought to be taken.
That is the most important thing.
Okay. Actually. Well, Deborah, and
that's what we're all about on BeliefNet, is trying to get people to talk to each other. It's the only way.
Well, I disagree with Marcia, Charlene, and Trudy.
However, along with Islam and Christianity, Judaism does insist that some turgid and contradictory and sometimes evil and mad texts, obviously written by fairly unexceptional humans, are in fact the Word of God. I think that the indispensable condition of any intellectual liberty is the realization that there is no such thing.
What is the one question you most want to see answered?
How does subjective consciousness work? How does it evolve? What's going on? When I have my own private feelings and you have your own private feelings, what happens when I see something red? What is it that makes the redness? What is it that makes the smell of onions? What is it that gives the subjective sensation that I know I have and I suspect you have, but I can never know what's going on inside your head?
We are in this cultural trance.
Breaking every heart its key. Confusing thoughts with fantasy.
And the other possibility is that it's something that really is not going to be explainable.
the way that we understand physical explanation. It really is kind of beyond us to get there.
And I will... You're saying forever.
I'm saying forever, yeah.
In their confusion to DC.
It's so very difficult.
They miss the point so handily.
You can see them. And you never get close.
Filling every secret need.
I mean, nobody's gotten close. You can read anything you want. There's nothing that's gotten close to making that translation.
Perfectly.
My hunch is, I'm sort of sitting here waiting for a genius.
This is the modern
world. I mean, it sounds kind of dumb, but we need somebody who is going to be able to get it. Just get it.
This is the modern world.
Of course, there are lots of religious people who think we don't have to get it. You know, that it's just, your brain is just there, and everything that you think is actually ethereal.
But you're almost suggesting that the explanation is beyond science.
It's beyond, I think, the way we do science now. Yeah.
Something out there, but it certainly isn't any god of ours. If there was a god, instead of telling crazy people to drown their own children, why wouldn't he remind them to take their medication? If this long overdue realization hits your true button, we invite you to join us. It's All in Your Head is not just a philosophical lifestyle, it's a useful tool in any post-science thinking. Are you tired of supernatural demands for unquestioning belief under the threat of some looming hell, when all you really want to do is have a good life in the here and the now? Well then, forgetting the title of this show is the worst thing you can do. Oblivious complacency will get you nowhere smoothly. We are not a threat to anything that makes sense.
He's right. For instance, you don't have to give up the brilliantly self-evident wisdom of the Golden Rule in order to give up monotheism. Do you have any reason to believe these two concepts require each other in order for them to function in our affairs? Do you realize how much unnecessary self-induced trouble the human race is actually in? Mental trouble. It's the curse of those familiar trials and tribulations that have always accompanied regional fundamentalist beliefs in ethnic gods of judgment, always infinitely empowered as they are by human superstitious absolutism. What we've got here is an evolving animal with a conflicted head, attributing its own internal impulses to something it imagines to be external. For now, all the good and all the evil, all the worst and all the best we'll ever need are contenders for selective control inside our very own brains. But these brains also appear to be advancing a different, extra-natural way of existing that is no longer welded to nature's amoral rules of survival. We carry a moral and ethical awareness unique to our level of intelligence on this planet, and we have begun to make our own rules. It's still just the beginning. But if this sounds great to the evolutionary optimists out there, forget it. We're not going to get rid of our genetically entrenched primate instincts and impulses anytime soon, and maybe not completely forever. And watch out what you wish for anyway, because we are completely inexperienced at predicting what evolution should be doing. Hindsight is the only possible view we have within our own evolution of higher consciousness, because we're the first thing it's ever happened to here. So, what will become of us? Well, we don't know about others, but One World Advertising is advertising the fact that nobody knows. But let's resist all negative spin and assume our spiritual awareness probably does have a wiser future to come. But for now, we're just saying, wherever the human spirit may go, responsibility for it will be entirely on our own heads, within which it all is.
Maybe he's right. Maybe there is something the matter with me.
God, natural fact or unnatural fiction? This decision is your heads to decide. And if it does, you will. And if we're right, the next step will be yours. Each and every one of you, to carry the head-eye philosophy, it's all in your head, to carry it out of this radio studio to all those in Vienna who were unable to attend this broadcast. Thank you for supporting Carry Out Philosophy. Thank you for supporting the future. This has been It's All in Your Head FM.
Well, did you have an idea about God?
No, I never did.
Well, have you an idea about God now?
No.
Operator disconnecting.